today, as we mark the World International Day of Peace, we turn our focus to the link between peace and also electoral processes. And here in South Sudan, the nation is expected to go to the polls in 2026. But what does it really take to ensure peaceful elections? And how do elections themselves contribute to the lasting peace in our country, South Sudan? And joining us this morning to help us understand and unpack this topic is Doreen Scodnis. He's the head of UN Integrated Electoral Assistance Team here in UNMISS. And good morning, Doreen, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, happy International Day of Peace.
Happy International Day of Peace to you and everyone listening as well. Thank you.
Yes, as someone working for a peace mission in this country, what does this day mean to you?
Well, I think first and foremost, it means a day of hope. I was here for the in support to the South Sudan Referendum Commission and Referendum Bureau for the referendum on independence.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very much in terms of the hopeful aspirations of the South Sudanese people. And so I reflect first and foremost on that. I think it's a day of global ceasefire. I think it's a day of nonviolence. I think it's a day of promoting peace, fostering unity, understanding, respect, dialogue. It encourages, I think, the reflections. I think it encourages the reflection on the root causes of conflict and promotes a collective action for a more peaceful and just world.
Now, why is peace such a critical foundation for elections? And equally, why are elections important for sustaining peace in this country?
Well, I think firstly, a peaceful, inclusive, safe environment is a starting point for any credible, peaceful, and inclusive electoral process in South Sudan, or for that matter, any country in the world. And in that, South Sudan is no exception to that need for the starting point of a credible, inclusive environment to be able to get to elections. As we see all over the world, elections can be a process of bringing people together, for a nation's citizens to have a voice on their future. But elections can also be a cause for conflict due to either poorly managed elections and processes that are not inclusive. Issues related to mis- and disinformation or hate speech can also provoke electoral-related violence. You know, the need for political dialogue and clarity on the way forward is critical now, not only for the broader peace process, as I heard the previous guest mention, but candidly also for clarity related to the way forward on the electoral process as well.
And now you're the head of the UN Integrated Electoral Assistance Team here in UNMISS. What kind, tell us first a bit about your office and what kind of support are you providing as South Sudan now prepares for elections?
Sure. Well, UNMISS and the broader UN country team work together in a very integrated fashion as one UN in support to South Sudan. And I emphasize we are here in a technical assistance, in a support role to South Sudan's electoral process as South Sudan's quest for its first elections as an independent sovereign state. We work closely with our trilateral partners and the African Union and IGAD and others in support to South Sudan. Our support, as per the UNMISS mandate and as per the elements of the request for assistance to the electoral process from the government of South Sudan, is currently focused on support to an enabling environment to get to an election. What does that entail? That entails working with, namely, the National Elections Commission, but also the Political Parties Council, the National Police Service, the Ministry of Justice, among others, to build the technical capacity related to elections administration, laying the institutional foundations for elections management, which is a starting point for any electoral process around the world, that the Election Commission obviously needs offices to work from. It needs qualified staff that understand election administration. The election management bodies need a clear legal framework from which to operate from, so that not only they are acting in accordance to the law, but that is a fair process, that political parties know what the rules of the game are, that civil society know the rules to serve as watchdogs and observers to the process, that voters know what the process is expected to be and for whom and how and the process is to vote itself. The need for financing, obviously, for the election bodies to be able to implement their planning and ultimately the electoral process. Mm. We also work with civil society to support their important role as a voice, as observers, as watchdogs to a process, but candidly also the critical role that civil society plays around the world in electoral processes is also that of serving as extended arms of civic and voter education and information to amplify the awareness raising related to an electoral process. Noting that in South Sudan, you know, if you are 30 years younger or older, younger, you never would have participated in an electoral process in your lifetime. Mm. And so, you know, that need of civic and voter education is equally important, not only for the Elections Commission, election management bodies, but candidly also with civil society around that. And also, and lastly, we work with the police and the broader security sector, beginning to lay the foundations for an understanding and their role in coordination related to the role of security in elections and the important role in the prevention and mitigation of electoral violence.
Right. And Mr. Derin, you have been working hand-in-hand with key institutions responsible for the election process in the country. Can we say the country is ready to go for election?
Well, I will say this. I would say that, you know, right now, today, no. You know, that the electoral management bodies need resourcing. Mm-hmm. They need clarity of the legal framework, clarity of the plan and way forward. As you've, you know, heard the chairman of the Election Commission and others say repeatedly, you know, today, September 21st, 2025, there are 15 months until December 2026.
Right.
And so, you know, that is when the elections are envisioned to take place. You know, there is a need now amongst the signatories to the peace agreement to first and foremost dialogue to address the current political impasse, to address the security environment, to get back on track in terms of what the way forward is related to the peace process, namely in noting that the elections are the culminating end of the peace process itself. The signatories to the peace agreement need to discuss with the level of, I think, seriousness and realism and consider the remaining time of the transitional period and determine what the priorities are and chart out, you know, what a realistic, achievable plan is. Noting that the constitution-making process is still expected to take 18 months. Under the current legal framework, the new constitution is expected to be the foundation for the legal framework for these first elections. Mm-hmm. Therein lies a challenge just in terms of simple math related to the remaining time. You know, so political clarity and decisions such as these are needed urgently for the Elections Commission to know what they are planning, what they are preparing for, the parties to know what the process is so they can organize and so that the nation can have a clear picture of the future toward elections. Hmm. You know, these decisions then need to be reflected in the legal framework so that the NEC have a clear foundation from which to work from. As I mentioned, resourcing then is needed for the Elections Commission as much as the other election management bodies and civil society as well, for them to operate as well as, you know, plan for the elections and then begin to implement. And lastly, and associated to the first point, you know, the need for civic and political space so that civil society can serve as extended arms for voter and civic outreach, to be watchdogs to the process and election observers, that political parties can form and register and begin campaigning related to a process that is clear and understood, and that the security environment allows the space for that to happen. In a credible, inclusive, and free way.
Right.
And none of these, lastly, none of these happen overnight anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. An electoral process is one of the biggest logistical, calls of a nation's people to do the same thing at the same time that any country goes through. And it takes time to do so. It takes a lot of effort. It takes an all of government, all of society effort. And, it takes time. So time is running out to be able to get ready for December elections.
Right. And many citizens, actually, even though many South Sudanese, they need the country to go for election, but they also have fear that elections could trigger more conflict instead of bringing peace to South Sudan. Now you have been working with other security institutions. So what specific safeguards are in place to ensure that the vote, in case it is happening, does not actually deepen division between the different parties, different communities of South Sudan, but instead strengthen national unity in this country?
Well, I think that is where, you know, time and the role of civil society and a clear legal framework the various actors in support to the electoral process, noting that it is not only the Elections Commission. Mm. You know, it is an all-in-government aspect in terms that will eventually involve the police, the Ministry of Interior, the Ministry of Justice, the judiciary related to electoral disputes, etc., the Political Parties Council, the National Bureau of Statistics, etc., on that. And so, you know, I think first and foremost in the prevention of electoral violence and stuff is having, you know, a process that is prepared for, that is well managed, that is clear, with a legal framework that is clear so that everyone knows what the rules of the game are, and that is articulated well in advance, that the various actors are well prepared to manage that process, including, and stressfully, the actors of voters themselves and the people of South Sudan.
Right.
And so, that is what I would stress in that aspect of a need for that time and clarity of the process and the ability of civic and voter education so that all actors, including voters, are included, aware, well-educated, and able to participate in a peaceful process.
Right. Mr. Durin, trust in institutions that will be responsible for 2026 elections remains weak. And you have been working with these bodies. Now, what role can UNMISS play in building the confidence among South Sudanese voters that their voice will truly count in case election happen?
Well, our role is to support South Sudan in its quest to conduct its first elections as an independent state. And, you know, in that quest, as I mentioned, our role now, as per our mandate and the request from the government, is in, let's say, phase one of supporting, you know, an enabling environment to get to an elections. Mm. So we're not even there in terms of supporting to an electoral process because, as I also mentioned, it's unclear what that process will be. The legal framework needs to be clarified, et cetera. And so, you know, I think, you know, part of that credibility of the process comes, you know, not only from the Elections Commission working transparently and keeping engaged with political parties, with civil society, with voters themselves, but also then the need for political stakeholders to create that environment in terms of civic political space and resourcing the institutions transparently, having a legal framework that is clear, so that everyone knows not only the rules of the game, but what the way forward is. Mm. And with that, then, begins to build trust, I think, in the process itself on that. Now, where there's this lack of ambiguity where things are going, you know, what the plan is. Of course, there would be a level of ambiguity, not only by the Election Commission, but also by the people themselves.
Right. Now, Mr. Darren, you mentioned earlier already that there is imbalance when we are calculating the period we have now up to the time that the election is supposed to take place, and then implementations of some of the things that are supposed to be done before the election, like, for example, the constitutions of South Sudan. Now, looking ahead to 2026, in case there is an alternative plan for South Sudan to go for election, what should the government do to make sure election happens?
Well, I think first and foremost, I would say they need to, you know, the signatories to the agreement need to, in a sincere, serious, realistic way, taking into account the point you just made in terms of the remaining time of the peace agreement, of to sit down and say, what are our priorities? You know, can we do everything in this amount of time realistically or not? And then determine what the way forward is and agree on that process. You know, again, without that clarity, you cannot have, you know, the National Constitutional Review Commission saying we need 18 months for a constitution and at the same time say elections in December 2026, where the National Constitutional Review Commission says they need 18 months to get to a constitution. Well, it's only 15 months to the envisioned election date. You know, so again, it comes down to a little bit of simple math of needing to look at that and realistically and holistically and seriousness with a level of realism involved of determining what the way forward is.
Right. Now, as we wrap up this interview on this International Day of Peace, what message would you like to share with South Sudanese as they look forward to both peace and the upcoming elections?
Thank you very much. You know, and maybe I'll just end at paraphrasing what the Secretary General of the United Nations mentioned last week related to International Day of Peace. You know, this year's theme of International Day of Peace is Act Now for a Peaceful World. You know, peace does not come and happen by accident. It is forged through dialogue, through courage of compromise, and above all, action. And I think that resonates in South Sudan right now of the need to act, the need to silence guns, the need to amplify discourse, dialogue, and diplomacy, the need to act to protect civilians, the need to act to tackle the root causes of conflict and inequality and exclusion, to hate speech, the need to act in the prevention and increase of trust, and also to act on the implementation of the peace agreement and the way forward of South Sudan's peace process, including elections.
Yes.
And so in that, I think, you know, ultimately on this International Day of Peace, peace is the most powerful force for a better future, not only in the world, but I think also in South Sudan.
Right. Thank you so much, Mr. Darren, the head of UN Integrated Electrical Assistance Team in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, for joining us this morning on this important day to talk about peace and also elections.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.